Okie dokie. Hebrews chapter 11, 2 Peter chapter 1. Two places. Hebrews chapter 11, 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, the book of Hebrews. You can see the title of the book is addressed to Hebrews or the Jewish people. But I can get something out of it as a white boy, as a Dutch boy. But it's written, doctrinally, it's written to the Hebrews during the last days. And Hebrews chapter 11, the first six verses is the Bible definition for faith. The Bible definition of faith. Now, I don't preach a whole lot about like these special chosen words that are used by the Ecumenical Society, you know, faith, hope, you know, unity, harmony, peace, and all that kind of stuff. Because the only way you can get a bunch of religions together is you narrow it down to just like two or three words, because if you say anything else, you offend everybody. You know, if I got a ministerial association, I've got a couple Muslims down here, and I say something about the Lord Jesus Christ, they'll get all bent out of shape. Not that I care. But they would get all bent out of shape. And if you say something about the Lord Jesus Christ, then the atheists would get all bent out of shape. So the idea is, when you get all these religions together, which is what they're trying to do under the Antichrist, they are limited to the following words: faith, peace, unity, harmony, sharing, love. That's about it. That's about it. You know, how can you say anything without offending them all? Well, the Lord Jesus wasn't worried about that. And so when people talk about faith, I'm going to go to the source where the word shows up in the Bible. And I'm going to find out the Bible definition. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, the elders are the men and women that are listed in this chapter. Abraham and Sarah getting the most verses of anybody. Verse 3, it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. That will be recorded in Genesis chapter 4. By Moses. Verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Okay, that's found in Genesis 5. Next verse, very important. But without faith it is impossible to please him. Please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. Notice verse 6, we have diligent faith. Diligent faith is what pleases God, but what is faith? Okay, and then in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to preach on a subject this morning, diligent faith. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do pray that you'd help us all individually to thank God for the freedoms we have in our country, that we can worship God thus far according to the dictates of our conscience. But Lord, thank you that our faith is not grounded or is grounded in truth and facts, and it's not a blind faith. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to be diligent to add to that faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you would, back to Hebrews 11. Diligence. Diligence implies an earnest effort. It implies a constant guard. It implies a continual searching for truth in all areas of life. A person should learn until the day he dies. Learn from somebody, something, anybody, anywhere, anytime. Search for truth, any type of truth. Now, you may have the truth of salvation already. Thank God for that. But we are to add to that. Add to that faith, virtue, knowledge, and so forth. Now, notice in Hebrews chapter 11, faith, in verse 1, has substance and evidence. It's not blind. The Bible never wants you and I to follow somebody blindly. Never does. And true faith in the Bible is faith that is not blind. It can be tested. Scholars, you know, at the secular colleges, they think that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need a crutch in order to deal with life. And so they think we have blind faith. I got more evidence for creation than they got for evolution. I got one evidence for creation, and they got nothing for evolution if I just go with one evidence. They got a blind faith. They talk about being broad-minded and think things out. They're some of the most narrow-minded people you ever meet in your life. You get talking to them, and you get questioned what they say. Boy, they will be all bent out of shape and jumpy. They don't like to be challenged. If you really want to see somebody get all bent out of shape, get in a courtroom and challenge any judge. Just challenge any of them. And boy, they will throw a 2-year-old temper tantrum. It's just like somebody took their bottle away. And that's just the way it is. Just the way it is. But the idea is faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we got some proof. We have some evidence. The Muslims call Muhammad a prophet, yet the guy never prophesied one time. My Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, predicted when he was going to die, where he was going to die, how he was going to die. He predicted he's going to rise from the dead. He did everything. Had over 500 people as witnesses after the fact, 514 at minimum of. And those witnesses wrote their testimony down as a record. And that is good enough to win any court case. That's not blind. That is hardcore facts. That's a record. That's why people don't like this Bible, this old King James Bible, because it deals with facts and records. And you can argue all you want, but them facts and records are right there in front of us, and a person has to deal with them. So the idea is we want to have some diligence. Diligent faith. The difference between a good athlete and a great athlete is the great athlete is diligent in his regards for perfection. He'll never play a perfect game. He always criticizes himself somewhere along the way. Even a pitcher that throws what is called a perfect game, nobody getting on base, he will, if he's a great pitcher, he will still criticize himself for the mistakes he made throughout the game. And he'll strive for something better, something perfect. Look, if you would, in Exodus 31. This used to be in America good craftsmanship. A good craftsman. It used to be in America that men would spend hours on details, particular things. Now in America, it's nothing but Quantity, 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 quantity. Push them things out. Quantity, quantity. We don't care about quality. We want quantity. Push them semi-trailers out the factory. You know, push that thing down the line. It doesn't matter. Well, it's not doing done right. Who cares? We want it to fall apart in 3 years anyway. We want job security. Quantity, quantity, quantity. That's how the thing goes. Quality is out the door. Modern art. Any two-year-old can do modern art. That ain't quality. Kid colorblind, throw a bunch of paint on a piece of canvas, go to the newsbeat and say I'm a communist, oh, they'll give you all sorts of good press. That's what Picasso was. For a guy to put an eyeball up here and an eyeball down here, that tells me he doesn't know how to paint or draw. Modern art is not art, it's perversion. Nude statues, that isn't artistic, that's perverts. They call that stuff artistic. That ain't artistic. This stuff nowadays, the craftsmanship is lost, it's gone. Several years ago, Dad bought a planter, supposed to be 30-inch rows, six-row planter. Supposed to be one of the best companies, and probably is one of the best companies, or one of the top companies farmers buy equipment from. So when we get this planter home, we get out the tape measure. 30-inch rows. Has to be 30 inches because your combine head, your corn picker head, is 30-inch rows. Well, you get the tape measure out, you measure the first one. Oh, it's 31 inches. Oh, well, let's check the next one. Oh, it's 29. Well, let's try the next one. Oh, it's 28. Oh, what's the next one? Well, 32. Well, they got to make up for the 28 somewhere. And the thing wasn't right. I think they got one row right on the whole thing. Craftsmanship. You remember them old cars compared to today? Today, you lean on the fender, you do $3,000 worth of damage. Them old cars were tanks. The reason why you didn't have too many accidents is because people weren't get away. They knew they were dead meat. If that tank come running in, that's how you avoid a lot of accidents. Drive through town with an old beater. It's got a great big bumper in the front, you know, like a redwood oak tree or oak tree thing. I've seen them like that. You go down to them hillbilly places, they'll put a tree that big around, bolt that thing on the front bumper. They'll get out of your way. Put that in the front and the back. But the idea is craftsmanship. Look in Exodus chapter 31. Americans have lost their craftsmanship. These so-called Christian bookstores do the same cotton picking things with your Bibles. You see your binding falling apart about 3 years?
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, Thomas Nelson and publishers, they do that purposely. Why? Job security. They want to keep selling Bibles instead of doing it right. Exodus 31, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship." He could work with his hands. What could he do? "To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." The guy was a craftsman. The Lord picked this man to help build that temple, that Jewish temple in the Old Testament. And this guy wasn't putting nude statues in the front. He did not put an obelisk, you know, the Washington Monument, in the square, like some perverts in Rome do. This guy was a craftsman. Do you remember some of them old craftsmen? Boy, you go to some of these buildings, old historical buildings, and look at the craftsmanship of those men. They worked hours in details of things. That takes character. That takes diligence. These pews, you talk about a piece of junk. Whoever bought these pews? Piece of junk. We need to get some pews that got a lazy boy chair, right? On that thing.
Amen.
I would like to have a pew structure that had electrical buzzers, and that way if I catch a thing, I can push a button. I think that'd be pretty good. And then have a buzzer, instead of, whoa, you go, amen. Wasn't that a good point? And put a buzzer, amen. Yeah, that was good. That'll work. But craftsmanship. I mean, several years ago, Dad and Mom and some families in DeMont area started a little church down there, non-denominational. That's the best they knew at the time. And it was a good church for 5 years or so. They bought all the church pews and a pulpit and everything for $5,000. You go there today and that stuff still looks virtually new. They bought good stuff. Solid wood instead of this particles of wood glued together. And you got to go back and reinforce everything. Just a bunch of piece of trash. See, you pay for what you get. You pay for what you get. Just fork out the money at the beginning. And then, you know, the thing will last for a long time. Craftsmanship. I'm talking about craftsmanship. Now, the same thing goes in our Christian life or in our life is, are you a person of diligent faith? Do you have quality in your life? Do you have some quality? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, Paul considered himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, the greatest Christian I do believe ever lived. He said in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. He said, I haven't attained. He said, I haven't arrived. He said, but boy, I'm striving for perfection. And along this path of me striving for perfection, I know my God, he'll fix me, and he'll get me where he wants me, and he'll reveal to me my inadequacies. He'll reveal to me my faults, my sins, because the closer you get to the light, the real light, God is light, the more that light reveals our faults and the worse you feel about yourself. And that's pretty good standard to follow with people, how things work. Now, the Bible talks about faith. Man talks about faith. You have some government programs called faith-based programs. I wouldn't enroll my dog in some of them programs. Might mess them up. Because their faith has no basis to it. You see, you got to have some basis to it. It's like there's, you know, guys in this airplane, and there's two parachutes and three guys in the airplane, and they were arguing about who's supposed to get the parachutes, and there's a genius on there, and there's a Boy Scout on there, and there's the pilot on there. And they were arguing about who's supposed to get the parachute, and the genius felt that he should get the parachute because he's going to save the world and all that stuff, so he grabbed a pack and jumped off the plane. So now the pilot and the Boy Scout's going to try to decide who gets the remaining parachute. And the Boy Scout just said, don't worry about it. The genius just took my backpack. Now, as that genius was floating down, he could imagine all he wants. I'm going to make it. 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 I have faith. I have faith. I have faith. He's going to splat, man. And it's not the fall that kills him. It's that sudden drop at the stop at the bottom. But, you know, there have been a very few people that have survived a fall like that without a parachute. But I would say the Lord probably had some angel kind of floating down with them, kind of going like this and setting them right in the right place. He said, give this nut another chance. Unless they landed on their head and didn't hurt anything but their neck. But what kind of faith? The Bible talks about different kinds of faith. Okay, in Jeremiah chapter 17... the Bible, we could call this human faith. Jeremiah 17. When man trusts in man. It's amazing to me how people trust people. You say, well, you're not to trust people? You don't want to trust yourself. I don't trust myself. Why? Because my heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's amazing to me how people trust cars. Kids are going to run out in front of a car. They know that car is going to break. Maybe not. Maybe the brakes go out on it. Man, a car pulls out, you know, getting ready to pull out and see if somebody got their turn signal on. I don't trust that rascal. Probably left it on from the last time. The worst drivers on the highway are the ones that trust everybody. The best drivers on the highway are the ones that don't trust anybody. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. The Bible says that's a curse. Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. We got a bunch of knuckleheads in the United Nations trying to tell us how to run our country. I'm going to trust you? You got a communist running the United Nations? They've had a communist in charge of the so-called peacekeeping troops ever since that place opened up. I'm going to trust you, clowns? Yeah, right. Human faith. People trust people. Amazing. Well, so-and-so said something, so it's got to be right. Does it make it right? It's a human. It's humans. Human institution, a human church, an institution made up by humans. Somebody says there's a purgatory. The Bible doesn't say there's a purgatory. Doesn't say it anywhere in there about purgatory. The Bible doesn't say that. Oh, a holy man in the Vatican says there's a purgatory. So? That don't make it true. I don't care if it's a good man or a bad man. Good men can be deceived. Doesn't matter. Does the Bible say it? It's amazing to me how many professing Christians believe in infant baptism. It's not in the Bible anywhere. Where did the idea come from? Somebody made it up. Somebody made that up. It's not in the Bible. Human faith. Human faith. Now there's another one, James chapter 2. We call this mental faith. Mental faith. James chapter 2, verse 14. You talk to the average person about belief in God, and most people say, well, I believe in God. That doesn't mean anything. I believe in God? Well, so do the devils. They believe in God. James 2, verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Verse 14, it says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, we know in the New Testament it can. But mental faith. A lot of people know, have heard about Jesus Christ. They know the historical record of Jesus Christ. Some people even try to deny that. Get a World Book Encyclopedia. You see a whole section on the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people know about him up here in their head, but have they trusted him in their heart for their ticket for heaven? That's the difference between mental faith and divine faith. Mental faith is just up here. You have historical faith. 1 John 5:10, where it talks about a record. This book is a record book. Like if you go to the courthouse and dig into the public records, miscellaneous files, certain files, you can dig up what are known as public records. That's what that book is. That book is God's public records for all mankind. He's recorded it right out for us. Anybody can read it. Now, how many of us go into the courtroom and look at public records? Boring. Boring city when you do that. But yet, those are vital records, especially if you need it for a case. And so, the ones that usually attend those places have a motive to take somebody's land. It becomes exciting for them. Okay, so we have different kinds of faith in the Bible. Now, in the Bible, we also have different degrees of faith. As far as a growth in grace, in James 1, 6 is a wavering faith. James 1, 6, a wavering faith. Doubting. Doubt this, I doubt this, I doubt this. Oh, I don't know about that. Well, I don't know about this. Oh, I just don't know. James 1, 6, it says, Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Okay, you don't have wisdom about an area? Ask God. Ask him. Before you read this Bible, anywhere, before you read this, ask God, Lord, I can't figure this out. Lord, would you please show me something? And start reading it. See what God gives you.
Well, I wonder if God's going to give me anything.
Probably not then. God does not reveal any truth to a skeptic, a dishonest skeptic. Now, the Lord wants us to question things. He wants us to prove things. He wants us to check it out. Just because I say something, and I say something from the Bible, just because I said, that don't make it right, and I don't want you to believe it because I said it. I want you to believe it because you saw what the Bible said for yourself, and the Spirit of God bore witness of that, and convinced your soul that that is right. That's what we're looking for. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's pretty factual. I mean, that's a pretty clear statement. Okay, does he have the proof of the pudding to back that up? Well, there's no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind from checking it out. I had a kid one time. He's a Wiccan. He was a female or male witch. He's practicing Wicca. It's one of the fastest growing religions in America now. Harry Potter's, of course, helping this situation. But this one kid is smart aleck, and he asked me, "So why do you believe what you believe?" What he was expecting me to say is the usual. Well, my parents taught me this, and I grew up this way. I knew that's what he was expecting. That's what he thought I was going to say. My answer was, I believe what I believe through empirical scientific proof. Oh, he said, I've never heard that before. I said, keep talking. You'll probably hear some more things you never heard before. And so I put it on him. I put it right on him. I said, are you open-minded? He said, yeah. I said, do you want to try to find out if there's truth? Yeah, I'm willing to find out. I said, okay, then I challenge you, I dare you, to take the Gospel of John. It has 21 chapters. And I said, I dare you to read each chapter along the way. Before you read each chapter, pray something of this manner. Dear God, if there's a God, just in case he was an atheist. If you're real, show me something. And I said, then read chapter 1. And I said, chapter 2, before you read that, say, dear God, if Jesus Christ is the Savior, show me something. Read chapter 2. Now, I've put that challenge on several men. This is the only guy that's taken me up on it. 2 weeks go by, and I come across the guy again. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, what's up? He said, I need to get saved. I said, yeah, you do, don't you? He said, I did what you told me to do. He said, I only got five chapters. But I did what you told me to do, and he said, I prayed to my God, and I didn't get an answer. I prayed to yours, and I got an answer. And he got saved. That's proof. That's what the Gospel of John is written for. Is Jesus Christ as he said he is? Salvation is of the Jews. Is he legitimate? Well, we can find out. Okay, as a person grows in grace, his faith becomes little faith. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, little faith. You say, well, how much faith do you need to have? Just enough to believe. That's all you need. Little faith. Little faith is better than none. Now again, this is faith that is based in a fact or substance, not faith in a blind faith. An evolutionist is blind faith. They blindly believe their great-great-great ancestors was an orangutan. They blindly believe that. Now, looking at some of them, I can probably imagine the resemblance. The mental level, maybe the orangutan's a little higher. But even at that, little faith. Little faith. Now, what our goal is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, is unfeigned faith. 1 Timothy 1, 5. Unfeigned. What's that mean, unfeigned? It's sincere. It's sincere. It's real. It's honest. It's above board. I have nothing to hide what I believe. I can take it into a courtroom, and it can stand. It can withstand any evidence. It can go against any prosecutor. I got the proof to back it up. Don't have to worry about it. Don't have to get all upset about my faith. I don't get mad about it. People challenge it all they want. I don't care. I'm not going to go crying to some bureaucrat, "Oh, they made fun of my church. I want equal rights." A superior people never talks about equal rights. Now, think that statement through, and you can see who's going to scream about equal rights. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5, it says, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." That's sincere. That's sincere faith. You need not to be challenged or worried when you talk to anybody about any belief system. Because if they reveal a weakness in your beliefs, you have a wonderful opportunity to strengthen it. You can learn. You can grow. And if, you know, by chance they show you some things that are true that you didn't know before, man, what a great opportunity to learn. When you discuss with anybody about the Lord or the Bible or religion per se, you have nothing to lose. If they're right, you get to gain from it. If you're right, I hope they get to gain from it. Most cases they don't. But you get to gain from it because you're more secure in what you believe. You see, faith is not real unless it can be tested. Faith that is tested becomes golden. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 talks about the trial of your faith. Faith must be tested in order to be valid. You see, you can take evidence in a courtroom, but if it cannot be tested, it's not evidence. Evidence can be tested, it can be challenged, and it will withstand the test. The one that probably passed the greatest test of faith has the most verses written about him in Hebrews 11, Abraham. Boy, was he tested. He was tested when his only son, between he and Sarah, where God said, "I want you to take him up and offer him as a sacrifice." You talk about a test. And God promised this man that he and his wife are going to have multiple descendants, you know, as the stars. And yet this same God is telling me to sacrifice my only son, Isaac? Boy, he's scratching his head on that. And what Abraham believed was that God was going to raise his son from the dead after he sacrificed him. That's what he believed. He believed in his heart. Hebrews 11 reveals this. Hebrews 11, let's see, I think about verse 17, reveals what Abraham was thinking when he was walking up that mountain with Isaac. Hebrews 11, 19. And he even hinted at this when he told the servant, he said, "I and the lad are going to go worship yonder and come again to you," in Genesis 22. But on that top of that mountain, he figured, okay, I'm going to have to kill my son. God told me. I'm going to slay my only begotten son. But I know that God, he's going to raise him from the dead. Hebrews 11, 19. "Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure." Now, what is that picture? That picture's the Lord Jesus Christ. Pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, where God the Father allowed the death of his son, and his son rose from the dead 3 days later. That faith is a tested faith. And that is what's called golden faith in the Bible. Quality versus quantity. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be diligent. Diligent in our beliefs, diligent in our faith, diligent to know the Lord Jesus Christ, diligent to add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and so forth. Lord, many people are diligent about things in this world, but Lord, I pray you'd help us to be diligent about the right thing. When heads bowed and eyes are closed, the Lord Jesus Christ said, salvation is of the Jews. He also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So there's our test. The way a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ is by grace through faith. For by grace you say it through faith, and not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the Lord Jesus said that, except ye be born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of God. Since the first birth, mama gave birth to a baby, a free gift. The second birth, the Lord Jesus wants to give eternal life as a gift. And he will give that to anyone who places their faith, divine faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for heaven. Divine faith. Faith in their heart. My head's bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. But if you're thinking, considering the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, preacher, would you pray for me? I need to either search that out for myself. I need to get the assurance of my eternal destiny myself. By an uplifted hand, you're saying, would you pray for me? Is there anyone in here? Not going to pester you about it. Just want to pray for you. Most important decision anybody's going to make. After a person is saved, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, hopefully that we are diligent to make our faith sincere, above board, unfeigned. The piano plays, the altar's open if you need it. Grab your hymn book, number the blue hymn book, page 228. I'd like to close. We'll just sing that. If you can sing that from a sincere heart, sing that out.